This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Amen. May God add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. The grass withers, the flower fade away, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. Amen. God is a good God, and he's good today. Amen. Amen. I'm going to try to stay within those two verses if possible. See what happens. Amen. Amen. But just know that we're subject to parade and peruse the whole periphery of the chapter. But I'm going to try to go with two scriptures here. Amen. Amen. One use for a thought as we continue to talk about focusing and following God. I want to use for a thought this morning, focusing on the higher call. Amen. The higher call. We need to know that there is a higher call of God for us, and we have to focus on it to get there. Amen. Amen. We don't get there by happenstance or by coincidence or because I just happen to make it. No, you have to make it your goal to get to this level, the higher call of God. Amen. Amen. And so when we look at the book or the letter to the Philippians, we understand that this is a Pauline epistle. In other words, it's authored by Paul. It's a letter that Paul wrote to the church that was at Philippi, the church or the body of believers. Philippi was named for King Philip, who was Alexander the Great. I know many of you have heard of Alexander the Great. It was his father who this city was named for. So when you think about Alexander the Great, you recognize that he was a great conqueror. Amen. One of the greatest, as they called him. But his father, Philip, this was the city that was named for him. The Philippian church was actually the first church that Paul planted on European soil. There were not many Jews in this city. And the reason why we believe that is because they had no synagogue, because everywhere Paul went, he preached in the synagogue. But this time he was preaching at the gate. So that tells us that there must not have been a synagogue for him to preach in. Amen. Because at this time, Christianity was still considered a sect of Judaism. Amen. And so this was the city, this same city where Paul cast out a spirit of divination out of a young girl who had some owners who they used her to, give to do some fortune telling. And so he cast this spirit of divination out of her. And the reason being is because that spirit began to annoy Paul. It began to get him frustrated spiritually. And so he turned around and cast the devil out. At some point in our life, we should not allow the devil to get us so flustered that we can't function. At some point, you ought to get annoyed enough to say, "That's enough." Amen. And begin to take authority over whatever the enemy has put in your life. Amen. Amen. And so we need to learn to take authority. Be as Paul was. Paul was minding his own business. And here's to show you how the devil do. You can mind your own business all you want to. And say, "I'm not going to do this and that," all you want to. Guess what? The devil will find you anyway. He will find a way to get in and start messing with your life. Amen? And so you need to learn how to take authority over it and cast that spirit out. Amen. But look, now he cast that spirit out. This is the same city. And when he cast that spirit of divination, in other words, she had a familiar spirit. What does that mean? That means she had a spirit that would give her information about people. Better yet, that spirit was familiar with them and give information. She was a medium that got information, and she would say whatever it is was going on in their life. You got to beware of people who always tell you about your past life. Amen. Let me leave that alone here. But Paul cast that familiar spirit out of her, and it displeased the people because, first off, the owners, because they made a lot of money off her. You know, remember Miss Cleo? Call me now. They made a lot of money off of her. Amen. And so they were displeased, and the people, their lives were guided by the spirit of divination. Be careful when you try to let your life be guided by people telling you something. You need to let God tell you something. Oh, come on and say amen here. And so this group of people, they were angry. They beat Paul and they beat Silas just because he was with Paul. See, sometimes if you're with them, amen, you get it too. They beat them and they put them in jail, but at midnight. This is the same place. Paul and Silas sang Acts chapter 16, and they praised God at midnight, and the prisoners heard them, and their chains were loosed, and the doors were open, and everybody in the prison was set free. And then the jailer came in and got saved, and his entire house, all because they were in the right place at the right time. So quit looking at some of the things that the enemy bring in your life as a cursing. Because in all of that, God can turn it around to be a blessing. And the same people that beat them washed their stripes and fed them. Just be patient and let God work his thing. Oh, come on and say amen here. And so this same city where this took place, Paul, he called this church his joy and crown. His joy and crown. In other words, it was the city that made him feel good, made him feel like a king. It was not just the city, but the church that made him feel good. It brought joy to his heart. This body of believers, Paul said, I can rely on you. And what was he saying? He said, I can rely on you because this church was committed to communicating to Paul. What I mean by communicating in the text, it was translated that these people were supportive of the ministry by giving to him. They even sent to him stuff for his body. For instance, they sent him a good fragrance to put on, some cologne. Amen. They sent him whatever he needed, a coat. They sent him money. They sent him whatever he needed in order for him to keep doing ministry. And so Paul said, I can rely on you because you're supportive of me. And so Paul turns around and tells them, he says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. Now, you got to understand something. Paul was saying that to people who was communicating, people who were supportive of the ministry. He wasn't saying that to anybody. So guess what? That scripture don't apply to everyone. Oh, I know we tell people that all the time. We tell that to folks that rob God. Help me. Yeah, we tell that to people who don't give but about $10 a year to ministry. But that's not for you. If that's all you, now if that's all you got, if all you make is $100 a year, that's fine. But Paul says to them that my God will supply all your need. And guess what? He will supply. But you have to be a supply yourself. Mm-hmm. They supplied Paul with what he needed. They supported him. And so we can't say that to everyone, but to those who support the ministry, amen? And he says, you know, God calls for us to take a higher seat, a higher call. And so in order to do that, we have to be determined. We have to be motivated. We have to be ready to press through and press toward the higher call. There are some things that Paul did, and we'll examine those things. We'll look at those things. But he did because he wanted to obtain the higher call. He wanted to win Christ. He wanted to be able to be all he can be in Christ. Amen. But we got to remember this. And when you look around, you got to remember not everybody in here is after the high call of God. Amen. Not everybody in here they're not interested in the high call. Amen. And I realize that, but you can listen anyway. But there's not everybody in here wants the high call, but some of us, we just want to make it. Just if it's by the skin of our teeth or by the hair of my chinny chin chin, just let me make it somewhere in the kingdom. Come on and say amen. Some of us just want fire insurance. In other words, I just don't want to burn. Oh, Lord, help me today, y'all. And so we got to see, and I got a few things. Just got about three things we're going to focus on in those two scriptures, and then I'll let you go. Amen? And so when we look at this, we understand Paul, he was talking about some stuff. He was talking about, the things that he had encountered. He was talking about all the stuff that he had done. He began to talk about how, he had achieved some things, but he counted those things but dung. Now, let's look at this. In verse 13, look at what he says. He says, brethren, talking to those who are born of the same womb, those who are born of the Spirit, those who are born of God, he said, I count not myself to have apprehended. He says, I don't say that I've arrived. I don't say that I've grabbed hold and I got this thing under control. But he said, but this one thing I do. Now, before that, Paul talks about how he said, what I'm trying to grab hold to really already got a hold of me. I remember when we were young, they used to sing this song, Something Got a Hold of Me. Amen. So we got to let God, I know what that something is now, God has got a hold of me, and since he has a hold of me, I'm trying to make sure that I get a hold of him. Amen. I'm trying to hold on to him as he's holding me. Although he's got me, I'm still trying to hold on to him. Oh, come on and say amen. You know how somebody, it seems as though they are falling, and you got a hold of them. You say, oh, I got you, and they're not trusting the word that you just got them. They say, well, I'm trying to hold on to you so I don't fall. That's how we should be with God. We should still be trying to hold on to him. Amen. But Paul says, I count not. And what, in other words, this is a counting word. He says, he said, we got to learn how to count. And so one thing, if you're going to focus on the higher call, is that you got to learn how to count. You got to be counting something. And what Paul was saying, he said, I count not. So Paul was saying, I'm calculating, I'm counting my life experiences, I'm looking at my achievements, and really all of this stuff that I got, that I've achieved, Paul in the previous verses said that this is nothing but dung. In other words, skubalong. In other words, it's nothing but rubbish. He said, I don't worry about that stuff because you know what? All that I'm achieving amounts to nothing if it doesn't amount to Christ. Amen. He says that I'm not perfect in my actions. Amen. But he says I have a mind to serve the Lord. Amen. We got to understand. We got to start counting. We got to learn how to count. We need to look at what counts in our life. Does it, you know, some things that we get ourselves into, the stuff that we do, do that really count, or do it count to be able to serve God and to please him and to worship him and to do his will? That's what really counts. Amen. We sometimes think that we've arrived because we've achieved something physically. We've got a little more money than we had last year. But you know, money's nothing to God. When we look at our lives, what do we really have to offer God? Because God doesn't want our money. You know what God really wants? He wants your heart. He wants you to serve him. He wants you to love him. He wants you to glorify him. That's what God really wants. And so we can't keep offering God, well, I'll just, you know, offer God with this and that. And God is saying, no, I have something I want you to offer me. I want you to offer me yourself. Oh, come on and say amen. He said, but this one, he said, I don't count myself to have become perfect, but I'm counting this and I'm looking at that. And Jesus even said this. He says that no man, he says, build a house without first counting the costs, trying to see how much it's going to cost for me to build this. In other words, in our life, we're trying to build something. We're trying to build, amen, and so we need to count the cost. It's some things that we got to get rid of, amen. It's some things that we got to bring in. And you know, sometimes when you're getting ready to build, and let me say this, why I'm thinking about it. If we get ready to build something, sometimes the area where we're building is too low, and so we need some dirt. Oh, come on and say amen. And sometimes we don't want that dirt in our life, but God said, you need some dirt so I can build a foundation here. You need some stuff to happen so that you can be solid. I wish I had somebody. And then when you put after you put the dirt there, you put some concrete on top and you get a good foundation. The plumber comes and he plumbs up everything. All before you start building, all this stuff happens. And you know what? God is saying, I'm trying to plumb some things in your life. And you know, most importantly, the reason why you need the plumbing, not just so the water could come in, but so you can get rid of the stuff that you don't want, so you can flush it out. God said, I'm trying to flush some things out. But you all come on and say amen. But when you don't have a good foundation, then things begin to crack and your plumbing begins to back up, and then you start having stuff in your life that you should have got rid of starting to flood your life. And so God is saying, you need to get rid of this stuff, and now it's flooding your life, all because you didn't get a good foundation. Hallelujah. And so here we go. I forgot to tell you, sometimes you got to get some, sometimes you have too much dirt. Yeah. And you got to get a bulldozer in there to dig in. And sometimes we don't want that flesh. That's our flesh. We don't want people to dig in our flesh because we get mad quick. Yeah. We get angry quick because he didn't rub me the wrong way. He's just a bulldozer. Yeah. He's trying to grade and get you level. Yeah. Amen. He said you got to count the cost. Then Jesus also said no king go to war and not count whether or not he's able to finish warring with the other kings. Amen. So if we're going to battle, we need to know what we got to battle with. We need to know whether or not we got enough strength. We need to know whether or not we got enough might, enough money, whatever it takes to do whatever we're going to do. Do you have enough will to do the will of God? Oh, don't half step. Don't come part way. Come all the way. Oh, come on and say amen. Paul says that we got to count. We got to learn how to count. We got to learn how to look at these things and say whether or not, you know, and sometimes we got to count and look at, you know, look at people in our life. Look at the position we're in our life. We need to really do an evaluation. That's what counting means. You need to learn how to start counting because we need to evaluate ourselves. We talk about counting our blessings. I can't really count my blessings, but I tell you what, I can count the bad things that I got my own self into. I can talk about that. I can count that, and I can see what I need to do differently in order for me to make it. Hallelujah. Amen. And so not only does he say that we need to learn how to start counting, but then Paul says we need to learn how to start concentrating on the right stuff. A lot of times we count on people, we count on other things, and we're not concentrating on God. Look at this. Paul says, but this one thing I do. Paul said, I do this one thing. I got something for you here. He said, I learned how to forget. He says, forgetting those things which are behind. I learned how to forget. I'm concentrating on one thing. And you know, when you can be good at one thing, you're real good at it. Then you don't have to worry about what you ain't good at because people focus on, man, they're pretty good at that. You don't have, come on and say, man. He said, concentrating. I learned how to concentrate. I learned how to forget what's behind me. I learned because why do I forget what's behind me? I forget because I'm a new creature. Paul says, I was Saul of Tarsus. Come on and say, man. But because I'm a new creature now, I'm no longer Saul, but I'm Paul. In other words, when he changed me, he really changed me. I used to be the persecutor of the church. I was a Benjamite, amen. I was a Pharisee when it came to religion. And when it comes to the law, I was blameless. I did everything I thought was right concerning the law. He said, I was all of this. But guess what? All of this stuff is dung when I come to think about the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ and getting to know him. All of that don't even matter. Paul said, I forget about it. And he much rather forget because now he's a new creature. He don't want to remember that he was the same Paul that drug Christians to death and he himself is now a Christian. He was the same Paul that held the coat of Stephen. I mean, those that stoned Stephen, he held their coats and he was there to consent when they got ready to stone him. He wanted to forget about that. Amen. He says, I want to forget. But not only that, I want to forget because I have some folks I need to forgive. Help me, Holy Ghost. Now, y'all, here we go. We need to learn how to forgive. We need to learn how to let go. But you know what we do? We don't let go. We pretend that we forgive. We pretend to forgive because we want to be right with God. We pretend to forgive because we know the Bible tells us to forgive. We want to pretend to forgive because we know that we can't be forgiven unless we forgive. But we still hold that stuff because as soon as somebody says something about the person you got an issue with, then we start talking about how bad that person is. You better watch them because they ain't no good. You know, we do that. We start talking, you know, we start doing stuff because we haven't really forgiven, you know. But when a person learns how much they've been forgiven, they don't have a problem forgiving because they realize that if it hadn't been for God forgiving me for all the countless sins, and I can't even name and number them because I've done so much wrong toward him, that if he forgave me of all that, who am I to hold one thing against somebody? Who am I to hold two things against somebody when God has forgiven me for a mountain of things, so much stuff that I can't even count them on one hand or on my hands or my toes. I can't even count so much that I've done that. Who am I to hold a grudge against you because you didn't like something I said? Oh, I wish I had somebody here. We, as a church, we got a problem. Not just this church. I'm talking about the universal church. We got a problem because we don't let go, because we choose to hold on to stuff that we shouldn't hold on to. We choose to hold on because somebody said something that we didn't like. We choose to hold on because they didn't come through when we wanted them to come through, because they wasn't by my side. They didn't call me when I thought they should have called me. They wasn't there. Oh, come on and say, man, we got to stop all of that and stop doing all the unforgiveness and showing that. And you know what? Unforgiveness breeds bitterness. And when you get bitter, oh, come on and say, man, God can't put nothing in a bitter heart, because bitterness is as a root. And let me tell you something. If you got a bunch of roots around your pipes on your foundation, it will crack your foundations. It'll mess up your pipes, and can't nothing flow, including the blessings of God. Oh, come on and say amen. And so God don't allow it to flow because you got too much stuff in your heart. Let go and let God have his way. You're trying to reach and focus on the high call. And so if we're trying to focus on the high call, we got to learn how to forget and forgive. And I tell you these three things. If you want to learn how to forgive, you need to forget. You need to fix it, forget it, and you need to fix it, face it, and forget it. Amen. You need to let go of those things. If I got a problem with somebody, the Bible tells me what to do. He says, go to your brother. Don't even offer your offering. Keep your little offering in your pocket. God said, I don't want it if you got something in your heart. All you're doing is just giving. You ain't doing nothing. God ain't got to bless you. But he does anyway. But you know what? You got to learn how to leave your offering and go get it right with your brother, and then come back and say, Lord, now I offer it to you, because he's not accepting if you're not forgiving. Amen. And so we got to learn how to forgive. We got to learn how to turn the other cheek. We got to learn how to love our neighbor. We got to learn how to do all those things, because it is required for us as Christians. Come on and say amen. Paul said, I'm concentrating on one thing. I'm concentrating to forget those things which are behind me. I know you got some stuff in your life you want to forget. I got some stuff that I try to forget, amen. And every now and then you got that person, man, you remember you used to do this? Yeah, I know, but I forgot. That ain't even me no more. I'm a new creature. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I got some newness of life. I got some new things happening. You can't see, you keep looking at the old me. You can't see this new me standing right here. You can't see that I'm better than I used to be. You can't see that I don't drink anymore, but I'm drinking from the fountain of life, the living God. I wish I had somebody here. You can't see that I'm not cussing and fussing no more, but I'm blessing people. I wish I had somebody here. We need to learn how to concentrate on the good. The Bible said to the pure, all things are pure. You can tell when people's heart ain't pure, because they're always looking for some mess. You can't be messy and reach for the high call. Preach. You can't be a gossiper and reach for the high call. Preach. Let me preach like a grown man should. You can't be a liar and then say, I'm reaching for the high a call. Hey, come on and say man. You can't keep up all kind of mess and tell people what other folks say behind their back. You come on and say, if it's going to affect their love, let me tell you how you know you shouldn't tell it. If you know it's going to affect them being able to love, don't tell it. Come on and say, man, if they can't love folks after you tell them, if they're going to have hate in their heart after you tell them, you're responsible. And guess what? The blood is on your hands. Preach anyhow, Pastor Holden. Oh, yeah, we need to learn how to concentrate on spreading love, building love. The Bible said that the Holy Spirit, Romans 5:5, he said, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. The Holy Spirit is given to us so that we would do the right thing. But many times we ignore the Holy Spirit. We omit what he has to say. We don't even think about it. You know, we'll deal with the consequences later. But will you deal with hell later? Because that's part of the consequences too. I wish I had somebody to say, preach to me. Oh, hallelujah. We got to learn how to concentrate on the right thing. We can't keep going around or have holding grudges and think that God is blessing us because we holding grudges. And look, I'm doing better than them. It could be the devil blessing you, so you'll keep holding the grudge and all until the day that you close your eyes and die, just so that he can have your soul in hell with him. I wish I had somebody here. We need to learn how to forget, and then he he says, as I concentrate on forgetting, he says, which is behind, I concentrate on reaching to what is before me. Come on and say amen. So when we learn how to reach, the word reach implies here that we need to use every ability and all our energy exerted in trying to reach that goal. I don't have time for that mess because I'm trying to reach a goal. I don't have time to listen to your gossip because I'm trying to reach my goal. I don't have time to sit back with you and a pity party when God has been too good to us. Even though everything don't go the way we want it to go every day, I thank God that he's able to give me a new mercy, a new day, a new opportunity, and I'm going to reach with all I got to try to reach the high call. See, I told you not everybody wants the high call. You see, misery loves company, and there's some people that want you to stay back in misery, and they don't want you to learn how to go into ministry. I wish I had somebody here that understood that I can't stay in this mess. If you got people that hang around you and all they want to do is gossip and lie and talk and cuss and talk nasty and whatever else they do, you need to say, I ain't got time for that. Or come on and say amen here. I ain't got time to be back here with this because I'm reaching. I'm concentrating on something else. I ain't got time to give my attention to your stuff when I'm looking for what God has in store for me. I'm looking for what God is trying to do in my life and in your life. I'm trying to bring you Jesus and you bringing me gossip. I wish I had somebody. I'm trying to bring you the gospel and you gossiping all the time. I got to stop you in your tracks by telling me we need to pray for so-and-so because they doing this and that. Then that's your little way of gossiping. I don't want you to tell me what's wrong with them. Just tell me, let's pray for them and let's grab hands right now and let's pray right now. We really mean this. If we really walk in this thing, let's pray right now. No, we ain't going to call so-and-so and tell them to pray too. No, we just going to pray right now because two touching anything as agreeing in heaven, the Father in heaven will perform that which he asks. Can I preach like a grown man should in here? I'm just trying to tell, we as a church got to learn how to focus on the high call. I can't keep going back to that stuff. I can't keep going back like a dog to vomit, like a hog to slop, and then have to, before I can pray for somebody, Lord, forgive me for what I just did because I really need to pray. No, I need to walk in the way God wants me to walk. Come on and say hallelujah. I need to forget those things which are behind, and I need to what? Reach forth unto those things which are before. We need to reach to what God has put before us. There are some things that God has put before us. Amen. And what am I saying? I'm trying to let you know that there are some things in store that God has put there before you got there. Before you get to where you think you're going, God has already placed some things there for you to find when you get there. That's why it's important for you to stay on the path that God placed you on. That's why it's important to walk in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, because something is in the path that God has for you. You haven't seen it with your eyes. You haven't heard it with your ears. It haven't entered into your heart, but the Spirit of God reveals it to you as you're led by the Spirit. Remember last week, them that are led of the Spirit of God shall be called the sons of God. If I'm going to be led of God, he's always going to lead me in the right place at the right time, and I'm going to have the right things in my life. I don't need to worry about what I'm going to have. He tells me in Matthew chapter 6, he said, don't take no thought of what you have and don't have. He said that even the Gentiles, they seek after those things. He said, but the birds of the air, they don't plant or sow, but they're still able to get a harvest. They're still able to eat every day. He said, the lilies of the field, God has clothed them. He says, so seek ye first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33, and all his righteousness, and these things shall be added. And what are the things? The stuff that we worry about every day, the clothes that we're going to wear, the food that we're going to eat, the house that we're going to live in. If you trust God that he got a house for you, guess what? I'm just waiting. He got a house. If you trust God that he's going to make sure you dress all right, you got to understand back.